Today's daf is Erev and Daf Peivav, and we are three lines from the bottom of Daf Peihei Omid Beis, the two dots, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza and Ovadia ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Avram ben Yubadu L'chaim Toivin Ramosha Chaim and Le'ilu Nishmas Baruch Dov ben Yubadu L'chaim Toivin Ramosha Chaim. That's my brother-in-law Baruch Weidra. Today is his 12th yahrzeit. Our chabura was very much founded, certainly the app, as a schus for the neshama of my brother-in-law Baruch Weidra. My brother-in-law passed away. He didn't leave over any children. And the idea of starting this app had a lot to do as being a schus and aliyah for his neshama. So may tonight's learning and really all the learning of the chabura be a schus for his neshama. So the Mishnah, at the very end of Daf Pei Hei Amud Bei said, Rabbi Yehuda said that in the event that there's a tenant-landlord situation. So Reuven owns an apartment and he leased it out to Shimon. So naturally, the expectation is that as it relates to Eruv HaTzeiros, Shimon, the tenant, would be the one that would be mishtatif in the Eruv. If Shimon was not mishtatif in the Eruv, it's a problem because you need every single member of the Chatzar to contribute. Rabbi Yehuda said, Em Yeshom Tfisas Yacha Balabayas, in the event that the landlord has something in this apartment, Einoy Oyser, then as long as the landlord contributed to the Erev, even if the tenant did not contribute to the Erev, it's not going to be an issue. So ordinarily, it's the tenant that matters. If, however, the landlord has a quote-unquote tfisas yad, he has some bailus, he has some ownership in this apartment, so then the halacha is, even if the tenant didn't contribute, if the landlord did, he's considered a bailum, and that's going to be okay. Zok de gemara, hechi dami tfisas yad. So what's an example of tfisas yad? Kigoin, says the gemara, I'll give you an example. Chatzeroi, the chatzer shall bunyas ben bunyas. So an example would be the chatzer of bunyas, whose father's name was also bunyas. So what was unique about Bunyas ben Bunyas? Rashi says, as we'll see in the Gemara, he was very wealthy and he owned a lot of apartments. And because he was very wealthy, he also had a lot of kalin. And he used to keep his kalin in those apartments that he owned. So if somebody leased an apartment from Bunyas ben Bunyas, so it was furnished. His things would come along with it. Bunyas ben Bunyas' apartments were considered to be an example of a situation where the landlord has a tfisas yad. It's such a case that if Bunyas ben Bunyas, his tenant, did not contribute to the Eruv HaTzeiros, it's not going to be a problem as long as Bunyas ben Bunyas himself did, says the Gemara. Also, the Kama de Rebbe. Bunyas ben Bunyas once came to Rebbe. Amal Husa, Rebbe said, Panu makam leben meyamana. Rebbe recognized Bunyas ben Bunyas as being wealthy. So he said, oh, he's wealthy, he's worth 100 mana. As a result, he said, Mach Platz. Rashi says, Makim Chashuv, give him a nice seat, Oivanun, because he felt that he had to be Mechabin. Also, in Shachrino, after Bunyas ben Bunyas sat down, so somebody else came, Amalu, and then Rebbe said, Panu Makim, Leben Masayim Mana. He said, oh, this person's even wealthier than Bunyas ben Bunyas. He's not only worth a mana, but he's worth Masayim Mana. So he said, give this person even a nice place. Amalu, from Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. So Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi was sitting there. So he said, Rebbe, turned to Rebbe, and he said, Aviv Shalzeh Yeshli Elef Svinas Bayam. He says, you know how wealthy Bunyas ben Bunyas is? You put him in the seats where the people that are worth Meya Mana sit. Do you have an idea of how wealthy his father is? He says, let me give you a snapshot. He owns 1,000 ships that are at sea. Ukenegdim Elef Ayolev Zbayar Bosh. And he owns 1,000 cities. That's how wealthy he is. Amaloi. So Rebbe said, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't know. I had no idea. And please relay the following message to his father. When you see his father, tell him, in the future, have your son dressed apart. Meaning, how was I supposed to know that he was this wealthy? If he's so wealthy, his father's a billionaire, then he should look like he is. And from the fact that he doesn't look that way, so that's why I didn't give him the proper cover. Meaning, Rebbe would have given him the cover that was befitting his wealth. But Rebbe had no idea. And he said, how was I supposed to know? Look at the way he dresses. He says, tell his father that he should dress his child better. Like this, he's going to end up getting more covet. So this Gemara, at first glance, seems a little bit tzaruch beer, says the Gemara, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. This was actually very much in line with Rebbe's attitudes towards Gvirim. And that is Rebbe, when he saw an Oysher, he would give him kavod. Rebbe Akiva Mechabed Hashem. Rebbe Akiva used to do the same thing. What was the reason for it? Kedidorash Rabba Bar Mori. Some say Rabba Bar Mori Darshin. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perik Samach Aleph, Yeshev Oylam Lifnei Elokim, Chesed Ve'emes Man Yintzeru. And Rabba Bar Mori Darshin, the Pasuk is false. Masa Yeshev Oylam Lifnei Elokim. When is it that the world is going to have a kiyum lifnei elokim bizman at the time shechesed ve'emes man yitzru, when there's going to be chesed? Rashi says when people are going to be going chesed to the aniyim, when people are going to give tzedakah. The reason Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva were mechabed ashirim is because the ashirim give tzedakah. And because they give tzedakah, they're the ones that are causing the world to stand. Yeshev oylam lifnei elikim. Chesed ve'emes man yitzaru. Why does the world stand? Because of the chesed and the emes. So it's the ashirim, obviously, they're the ones that have the money to be able to give tzedakah. So the reason Rebbe was mechabed ashirim wasn't because he respected the fact that they were so wealthy. It was simply because of the fact that they were going lechesed. Let's say they wouldn't be going lechesed. We'll see more about this in the raid. But either way, says the Gemara, Rebbe was mechabed Bunyas ben Bunyas. He was mechabin him a little bit, simply because he didn't dress in a way that made him look very wealthy, only a little wealthy, hence a little bit of kavod. But had he known he was wealthier, he would have mechabin him even more. And this was Rebbe Lishitasai, because Rebbe, classic mechabed Hashem. And not just Rebbe, Rebbe Yekiva as well. Again, a lot more in the raid by Rabbi Bar Barchanah. Rabbi Barchanah had a different shot, going back to the Mishnah, the Erevim portion of today's daf, and that is Heichi Dami Tfisas Yad. What's an example of Tfisas Yad? Assuming the landlord has some Tfisas Yad in the apartment that he leased out to his tenant. So then the halacha said, even if the tenant didn't contribute to the Eruvich Hatzeris, it doesn't matter. So we said, what's an example of Tfisas Yad? So the first example was a dramatic example that gave us a little bit of a welcome digression. The example was Bunyas ben Bunyas, who was this big vir, and he had furniture in all his apartments. The Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Barchanah said it doesn't have to be something so significant, but rather it could go in Yosei Shal Machresha. Even if you have the peg of a Machresha, of a plow, that in itself would be enough. As long as the landlord has something, that's going to be Amr of Nachman. Nachman said, Atadav Shmuel. I heard in the yeshiva of Shmuel, they said as follows, Dovra Anitel B'Shabbos Oyser. If this thing is something that you can take on Shabbos, so then the halacha is, it doesn't count. If it doesn't count, if the tenant does not contribute to the Erev, Oyser, it's going to be a problem. But if the thing is something that you can carry on Shabbos, then it does count. And as a result, it's not going to answer. And it makes a lot of sense. It's very logical. If the thing that the landlord has can be removed on Shabbos, so then there's a concern. What if it's removed on Shabbos? It's not going to be there anymore. So now the balabais won't have tfisas yad anymore. You're running around carrying, assuming that it's okay. You're going to have an issue. If it's a dovish, she'enei nitel b'Shabbos, then you don't have to worry about it. Tanya nami yochi, it's a mefurish b'raisa. Yesh li tevel, yesh li ashoshes. In the event that the landlord had tevel, peiros, from which he didn't give chumas of maestras, the significance of which is it's mukta, it's enei nitel b'Shabbos. Or if he had an ashoshes, some crystals, some glass, the chol dover she'en nitel b'Shabbos, or anything that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, the halach is ein yoiser, it's not going to aser. Either way, we are now going to, it's noch a mishnah, miniach, beisoy, v'holach lishbois be'ir acheres, in order for Eruv Chatzeres to work, every single member of the chatzer needs to contribute. Meaning, every member of the chatzer needs to either partake in the Eruv, or be mevatel as rishos. And if there's a non-Jew that's living in the chatzar, he has to lease out his rishos to a yid. But everybody needs to contribute. The Mishnah is going to discuss what happens if there's somebody that lives in a chatzar, but he's not home for Shabbos. So he didn't contribute. However, he's not home for Shabbos. So what's the halacha then? Do we say, lemaisa, he lives here? So if he lives here, he has to contribute. Or do we say, but no, he's not here for Shabbos. So being that he's not here for Shabbos, it's going to be okay in the vernacular, dira b'loy b'ilim. If there's a dira, but the owner is not there, shma dira, alo shma dira. If dira b'loy b'ilim is shma dira, so the dira is considered a dira, this dira is not partaking in the Erev, it's not being mevatel to shos, it's not leasing out to shos, you're going to have a problem. If dira b'loy b'ilim is leishma dira, it's not going to be an issue. So what's the halacha? It's a four-way machalik is tanah. If somebody leaves his house and he went to spend Shabbos somewhere else, so the halacha is echad nochri, ve'echad yisrael. It doesn't matter if this somebody was a yid who can't participate in the Erev. can it be mevatel his rishos? What he can do and what he has to do is lease out his rishos, or whether it was a yid. Hareza oiser, divi Rav Meir. Rav Meir says it's going to be a problem. Why? Zok Rashi, because Rav Meir holds dira b'loy b'aylam shma dira. So the fact that you're not here for Shabbos, who cares? At the end of the day, your dira is a dira. You need to participate. Rav Yehuda says ain't a oiser. Why? Zok Rashi, the lav shma dira, because Rav Yehuda holds that a dira b'loy b'aylam is not a dira. Rav Yosi is a third shita. He says nachri oiser, yisrael loy neoiser. Depends if this person that's not home for Shabbos is a yid or if he's a nachri. If he's a nachri, it's a problem. If he's a yid, it's not a problem. What's the reason? She'in derech Yisrael lovi b'Shabbos. Because a yid goes away for Shabbos, usually doesn't come home on Shabbos. A sheged goes away on for Shabbos, he's going to come back Shabbos afternoon. Why not? So said Rabbi Yossi that if it's a yid, then I don't think it's going to be an issue. Why? Because dira b'loy b'aylim is lav shma dira. But if it's a guy, it's not a dira b'loy b'aylim. Because even though right now he's not home, but he's going to come home. And because he's going to come home, that's why it's an issue. Reb Shimon, I'm Reb Shimon, is a fourth shot. He says, I feel a niach base, even if a person left his house. V'holach lishbois etzel bitoy. And he's spending Shabbos by his daughter. But oisah ha'ir, in the same city, eino yoiser, talach is, it's not going to be oiser, shekvar hisiya miliboy. Because once a person leaves his house, even though it's very likely that he's going to come back, I mean, this is extremely likely. He's staying by family, and he's in his own city, but at the same time, once a person leaves, he siya miliboy, he siach daitoy, and being that he was masiach das, so at that point, the halacha is, everything is, he's not going to aser by virtue of the fact that he wasn't home. So we have a big machloikis as it relates to someone that is not home for Shabbos, and he never was mishtatif in the Arab. So what's the bottom line? Amar Rav, Rav said, halacha kereb shimon. And again, whenever you see those words, halacha kereb shimon, it's comes as news, because ordinarily we don't pass like Reb Shimon. We're going to pass like Reb Shimon. Of a Baal Mahadein, we don't pass like Reb Shimon. But this is an example where the halacha is like Reb Shimon. And then the Gemara says, a nice knetch. The only time this halacha is true is if this person went to his daughter. Right? What did Reb Shimon say? He's staying Shabbos by his daughter. So there we say that even though there's a good chance he's going to come home, he's in the city, it's a comfortable situation, but at the same time, no, he's siya miliba, he was masiach das, and we don't think he's going to come. Aval benoi, but let's say he spent Shabbos by his son. Lie. No, then the halach is different. Then it's going to be a problem. Meaning the fact that he wasn't mishtatav is an issue. And we don't say, oh, he's not home for Shabbos. There's a good chance he's going to come home. Why? What's the difference? So the difference is not his daughter versus his son. The difference is his daughter versus his daughter-in-law. The Amri Inshi, because people say, Navach Bach Kalba Oil. If a dog, a male dog barks at you, so don't be so scared. Navach Bach Gur Yisrael. But if a female dog barks at you, pike, run for your life. So it's the same Svara. Over here, the difference is that if he's spending Shabbos by his daughter, so then the chances are, yeah, he's probably going to spend Shabbos there. What's gonna happen already? He'll get into a fight with his son-in-law? We're not so worried about that. His daughter? It's his daughter. Why would he get into a fight? What's the issue going to be? Are you spending Shabbos by your daughter-in-law? So then there's a good chance you're going to come home. So Reb Shimon, this is Reb Shimon talking. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said that if a person spends Shabbos by the shneer, by his daughter-in-law, that's not considered. You know there's a good chance that you might be spending Shalosh Shudas at home. At some point, you might have to make your way back. And as a result, the halach is, you weren't Masiyach Das, if you weren't Mishtatif, it's not. So this Gemara is a little unique, because there's a lot of Chamoisei Gemaras in Shas. This is a Chamov Gemara, right? You don't have a lot of Chamov Gemaras. A lot of Gemaras with the Shviger and the daughter-in-law, we see that all the time. But that there should be a Shver daughter-in-law issue, so that's unique. This is this Gemara right here. Either way, we're going to return now to our regular program, which has been the topic of the daf the last several days. And that is a situation when you have two chatzeros that are side by side. There's something that's separating and dividing those two chatzeros. How we look at that area in between from a halachic standpoint, a little lighter than the last several dafim. So till now we've been talking about two chatzeros that are side by side, there was a wall in between. Two chatzeros that were side by side, there was a charetz, there was a ditch in between. Two chatzeros that are side by side, there was a chaloin in between. Two chatzeros that are side by side, there's a haystack in between. Two chatzeros that are side by side, there's like an alleyway, and in the alleyway there's a pit, but it's four tfachim away, where you have to fly, derech aver, all these Shveris sugis that we've seen. Zok the Mishnah, what would be if you had a barshim in shtei chatzeros, you had two chatzeros that were side by side. there's a wall that goes from one end of the chatzer to the other end of the chatzer. Meaning there's a good wall that's separating these two chatzeres. They didn't make a Eruva chatzeres. In fact, they couldn't make a Eruva chatzeres. There was a wall that was dividing it. There was no Pesach. There was no breach. As a result, they don't have the right to make a Eruva chatzeres. Each chatzer made its own Eruv. Obviously, there's two separate chatzeres. But in terms of making one Eruv to unite the two chatzeres, that was something they didn't do. It was something that they couldn't do. Now, underneath the wall, there was a pit. And inside the pit, there was water. So if you picture it, there's a big ditch with water, like a little well or a swimming pool, a bar, a bear, that's in the middle of the chatzer. Half of it is on the side of one chatzer. The other half of it is on the side of the other chatzer. And this great wall that goes through and divides these two chatzeres goes right over this ditch. So says the Mishnah, if you have a bar, Shemin Shtei Chatzeres, then no one's allowed to take any water on Shabbos. What would be the reason you can't take any water on Shabbos? Because each Chatzer can do whatever it wants on its side of the wall, but they can't do anything on the other side of the wall. Because if the people from Chatzer A are going to move something in Chatzer B, this is a Ruvei Chatzeres 101. So being that this body of water is just one big body of water, and it's partially under Chatzer A, and it's partially in the underside of Chatzer B. So how are you going to take water from it? The problem is you're going to end up taking water from the wrong side. Yeah, from your side, theoretically, hypothetically, should be okay. The Gemara is going to talk about it. Aren't the waters all mixed together? So we're going to see a little bit about this in the Gemara. But the point is that the starting point is that we have a major problem. If there was no Eruv Chatzeres between the two Chatzeres, so you shouldn't be able to take water. Hence, that loch in the Mishnah. Ein memalim imen b'shabbos. You're not allowed to take El, you have to read the fine print. And that's where the sugi is. If there was a mechitza that was 10 tfachin tall, meaning not the wall that's going on top of the pit, they made a special mechitza to be put in the bar. So then the halach is, it doesn't matter where in the bar it was. Bein milmata, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. Bein mitoich oignoi, or if it was anywhere within the rim, meaning within the hole, within the bar, then the halach is, that would serve as a mechitza. It now divides, it cuts the two sides of the bar, so each chatzer is allowed to take water from their side. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel said that it's not so simple. I mean, Tanna Kamma said, all you need is a mechitza that's gevayas ar tfachim, just put it somewhere in the bar. Doesn't matter if it's milmata, or if it's mitoich oignoi, which means more towards the top, anywhere inside the bar. Again, we'll see more in the Gemara what soul means, but as long as it's somewhere in the bar, that in of itself would be okay. Shimon Gamliel said, no, not so simple. In fact, it's a machloikis b'sham b'sil. What are the two opinions? B'sham erim milmata, b'sham holds that it has to be on the bottom, u'b'sil erim milmailo, and b'sil says it has to be on top. What does milmata mean? What does milmailo mean? We'll see a machloikis amayroim in the Gemara had to be mefash. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was a third cheetah. He said, why take mechitza gedolim on a koisa shebenem? He says, what do you have to make a mechitza for? He says, you have a mechitza. The koisa that goes on top of the bar, isn't that a mechitza? So it's better if you put a mechitza inside the bar. That mechitza in and of itself would be okay. And as a result, he said, there's no reason you should need any more than that. So again, we're dealing with a bar. It's between two chatzeres. There's a wall that divided the two chatzeres that went over the pit. Each chatzer made its own Eruv Chatzeres. However, there was no Eruv between the two chatzeres. Presumably, they couldn't even make an Eruv if they wanted to. But the point is that there was no Eruv. As a result, says the Mishnah, it's a big problem to just go ahead and take water. Because you can take water from your side, but you can't take water from the other side. So what do you have to do? So we have really three shittas in the Mishnah. The first shita is just make a mechitza. Like a mechitza is 10 tfachim, put it somewhere in the bar, put it in milmata, put it on top, it doesn't matter where, it's going to be okay. Shimon Gamliel said, no, it's really much more complicated than that. In fact, it's a machlokes b'shamay b'sil. B'shamay said, the mechitza has to be mamato. Basil said the mechitza can be a mamailo. Rabbi Yehuda said, I disagree with this whole part. You don't need anything. You have a wall going on top. So, what mechitza that you're going to make is going to be any better than the wall that's on top of it? And if the wall that on top of it is not good, then the mechitza won't be good. So, it's pashut that the mechitza would work. And if a mechitza would work, the kaisa would work. And as a result, you don't need anything. So, the Gemara is going to begin its discussion of the Mishnah with trying to understand Shitas Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that it was a machloket b'shamay b'sil where this mechitza had to be. According to Beis Shammai, milmata, and according to Beis Shammai, milmaila. Amar Rav Huna said, lamata, lamata mamish. Lamata means lamata mamish. Lamaila, what does that mean? It means lamaila mamish. So what does lamata mamish mean? It's unclear. What does the word even mean? So lamata mamish means that the mechitza has to be touching or at least really, really close to the water. So picture a pit that's deep And in the pit, there's water. But the water doesn't go all the way to the top. Let's say the water goes halfway up, and there's a lot of space between the top of the water and the top of the pit. So said Rav Huna that when Beis Shammai said that the mechitza has to be mamata, what he meant was mamata close to the water. It should be on top, not in the water. It doesn't have to be in the water. But it should be at least on top of the water. As long as it's top of the water, that in and of itself is going to be okay. What did Beis Hillel mean when they said lamayla? It meant it could be all the way on top of the pit. Meaning on top, mamish by the rear. As long as it's within the pit, that in of itself is going to be fine. But it doesn't have to be near the water. It doesn't have to be in the water, that for sure. It doesn't have to be on even on top of the water. So according to Rav Huna, the mechitza doesn't have to be in the water. It's a chiddush. Doesn't have to be in the water. It just has to be within the confines of the pit. The machleib shabbos hill lamata lamayla is lamata meaning towards the water, or lamayla doesn't have to be towards the water. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda said lamata means lamata min hamayim. No, you know what Beis Shammai meant when they said lamata means in the water, on the bottom, go all the way to the bottom of the pit. That's where you have to put this mechitza. What does lamayla mean? Lamayla min hamayim. Lamayla meaning on top of the water, but it has to be touching the water. Beis Hillel's lamayla is not all the way on top. Beis Hillel's lamayla is on top of the water. In other words, Rav Yehuda's Beis Hillel is Rav Huna's Beis Shammai. Because according to Rav Huna, Beis Shammai's lamata meant on top of the water. Beis Hillel meant all the way on top. According to Rav Yehuda, Beis Shammai's lamata is all the way on the bottom. And Beis Hillel's lamayla is on top of the water, which was exactly what Beis Shammai's shita was according to Rav Huna. Notice Beis Shammai's machmer, Beis Hillel's mekel. Beis Shammai's always machmer. But we have machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in terms of what exactly these two shitas are. Now we of course passing like Beis Hillel. So just to focus on Beis Hillel for 1 second. So Beis Hillel, which of course is going to be the halacha according to Rav Huna, according to Beis Hillel, as long as it's lamayla mamish, which means all the way on top, that in of itself is going to be okay. According to Rav Yehuda, Beis Hillel is going to hold that it has to be lamayla, meaning doesn't have to be lamata all the way on the bottom, but at the same time it can't be on the top of the pit. At the very least, it would have to be lamayla menamayim. It would have to be on top of the water. Amale Rabba bar Rav Chana labayo. So Rabba Rav Chana asked Rabbi, hold on, Rav Yehuda lamata lamata menamayim. Rabbi Yehuda said that it has to be lamata min amayim. This is Rabbi Yehuda according to Beis Shammai. It has to be all the way on the bottom of the pit. Maisha lamata mamish d'loy. So he said, why did Rabbi Yehuda hold that it has to be lamata min amayim? Meaning, why isn't it good, according to Beis Shammai, that if it's lamata mamish, meaning if it's not in the water, but only on top of the water, probably, the reason is Darivi Maya, because he was worried that the water is going to mix. What kind of mechitza is that? Right? Beis Shammai, alibid Rabbi Yehuda, seems to be the most logical at first glance. Because he's saying you have to put the mechitza in the water. You want to cut the water. So this side can take from that side of the water. And this chatzit can take from that side of the water. So you have to physically put the mechitza in the water. So I understand, says the Gemara, why Rav Yehuda held that lemata mamish is not okay. Meaning if it's not physically in the water, it's not going to be okay. Darivimaya. What was his problem? Even if you put it inside the water, does... No one said that it's going to divide the whole water. Meaning, how tall did this mechitza have to be? Had to be 10 tefachim. What if there's 20 tefachim worth of water? So again, it's going to be a Rivi Maya, right? We should have to address that. Amale, so the Gemara says that Abaye told Rabbi Barav Chanu Lishmiel Lachad Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Didn't you hear Rabbi Yehuda himself explain this? Umat Bamashum Rabbi Chia. Some say he said it not in the name of Rabbi, in the name of Rabbi Chia. That Tzorich Sheyiru Roishan Shalkanu Lamayla Manamayim Tefach. True. The way Rav Yehuda understood Beis Shammai was two things. Number one, lamata. It has to be on the bottom. What does lamata mean? On the bottom of the pit. Number two, it has to go all the way on top, at least one tefach above the sea level. It has to go at least one tefach above the water. If it's going to be one tefach above the water, then it's going to be a loya rivimai. But enichinami, you want to understand Beis Shammai alibi Rav Yehuda? Very logical. He holds you need a real mechitza. So if you need a real mechitza, it has to be on the bottom. You're right, the Mishnah said 10 tefachim, but that's assuming that the water was only 10 tefachim. It has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim. It has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim. But if the water is more than 10 tefachim, enechinami, it'd have to be bigger than that. Because at the end of the day, tzarech shiru roishin shal konim, the top needs to be lamayla manamayim tefach. The Gemara says, Rav Chana asked Abai another question. So, hold on, Rabbi Yehuda lamayla manamayim. What is Beis Hillel hold? Beis Hillel holds lamayla. And had Rabbi Yehuda understand shitas Beis Hillel, what does lamayla mean? It means on top of the water, not on top of the bar, the way Rav Huna understood it, but lamayla meant on top of the water. So he said, I don't understand. Why is it not good if it's all the way on top? The Arivi Maya, because obviously the water is going to get mixed. Lamayla manamayim, nami Arivi Maya. This is a good question. So what's the mayla of it being on top of the water? Is there a mile of it being on top of the water? What's the difference if it's mamish on top of the water? Right? If you have a picture, it's so clear. if it's on top of the water but not in the water and not touching the water, or if it's 10 feet higher. If you hold it has to be in the water, then it should be in the water. If it doesn't have to be in the water, what difference does it make if it's l'mayim l'mayim and not l'mayim l'mayim? Or Malays, Abaye told Rabbi Baruch Chanan, I guess you didn't hear this either. Le'shmil l'chad etoni Yaakov Karchino. Yaakov Karchino explained it. And tzorech sheyishka roshe konen b'mayim tefach. Rabbi Yehuda held l'mayim l'mayim, according to Rabbi Hillel, but he added a knetch again, that it has to be a little bit in the water. Oh, it has to be a little bit in the water. So that's something that we understand. What does it mean it has to be a little bit in the water? That's already a mayim. It's not just l'mayim amayim closer to the water. It's l'mayim and amayim, and a little bit of it is in the water. Oh, if a little bit is in the water, so that's something that we understand. So just to exhale for 1 second. So what do we have here? We have Machloikis, Rav Huna, and Rav Yehuda had to understand one of the three shittas in the Mishnah, specifically the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel said that if you have a bar, you can't just simply take water. What do you need to do? You need to make a mechitza that's going to be 10 tefachim. Where do you put the mechitza? So Shimon Gamliel said it was Machloikis Shammai Bisil. Bishamai said Milmata, and Bisil said Milmaila. According to Rav Huna, what does Milmata Milmaila mean? They both hold it doesn't have to be in the water. It doesn't have to be in the water. Milmaila means it could be on top of the pit, far from the water. Milmata means it should be at least samach to the water. But in the water, no. Bottom of the pit, certainly not. Rav Yehuda said no. That Milmaila means on top of the water. Everyone holds it has to be at least on top of the water. Milmata means it has to be all the way on the bottom. And the Gemara clarified it. And Rav Yehuda himself clarified part of it. And that is when Bishamai says, Lamata, it's not enough that it's on the bottom, but it would have to protrude a little bit above the sea level, a little bit above the water. So 10 tefachim is the minimum. That's what the Mishnah said the shear is. But assuming the water is 20 tefachim, it would have to be 21 tefachim. It has to be one tefach on top. And when Beis Hillel said Lamaila, it would have to go down, have to penetrate the water at least one tefach, at least one tefach as well. Just to understand the machloikis a little bit, according to Rav Yehuda, there would seem to be a fundamental machloikis between Bishamai and Bisil in terms of understanding what this mechitza does. Bishamai says it has to be all the way in the bottom of the water. It has to go all the way up top. So it has to be on top of where the water ends, at least by one tefach. What does it sound like the function of this mechitza is? To be a mechitza. It physically is separating the bar into two sides. According to Beis Hillel, that it just has to be milmaila, doesn't have to be in the bottom of the water. In fact, even though he holds the maila, which suggests it has to be a little bit in the water, but you just need one tefach in the water. It doesn't have to be more than one tefach in the water. If the objective of the mechitza is to cut the bar into two, how are you cutting the bar into two? Just because it's one tefach into the water, arivi maya. So what must the function of this mechitza be? It must be mishum heker, so to speak. But the point is, it's like lechi mishum mechitza, lechi mishum heker. It's a little bit like that. This is the function of this mechitza to literally cut the bar, or is it not to cut the bar? Beis Shammai, Elibid Rabbi Yehuda says, it has to go straight through the whole water. Oh, it has to be a real mechitza. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, it doesn't sound like it has to be a real mechitza. What about Rav Huna? Rav Huna held that nobody holds it has to be in the water. Rav Huna held that even Beis Shammai, who's machmer, who holds lamata, doesn't mean the bottom of the pit. It means on top of the water. He didn't even say anything about being inside a tefach. Maybe it also has to be a tefach. But even if it is a tefach, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's not a real mechitza. So everyone's going to hold it doesn't have to be a real mechitza. So again, according to Beis Shammai, Alibid Rav Yehuda, we need a two-way for a real mechitza. According to all the other shitas, Sai Beis Hillel, Alibid Rav Yehuda, and Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel, Alibid Rav Huna. This is all Alibid Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, right? But the point is, everyone's going to hold that this is not a real mechitza, but rather all this has to be is some sort of hacker. Now the truth is, before we just dismiss this mechitza as being a real mechitza, we know from learning Erevin that mechitzas can be imaginary as well. So what we think is a mechitza is not necessarily what halacha treats as a mechitza. There's a lot of imaginary mechitzas that permeate the mesechta. Gudachas mechitzas, gudasak mechitzas, pasi birois, pitikri yared vesaisen. So just because we're saying, oh, this is not a real mechitza because it's not in the water, it doesn't go all the way down to the bottom, not so fast. What happened to gudachas mechitzas? What happened to all these other sugyas? So the truth is the Gemara is going to talk about it a little bit now. The Rishonim talk about it a lot, ayin sham, but again, just to have a little tayamel of what's going on here in the sugya. Zok, the Gemara, ve'ela, freak the Gemara, kash, odam, Rav Yehuda said, koira, arba, materes, bechurba. If you have a koira of Erevin fame, so you have a beam, it's 4 tfachim wide, it's in, it's on top of a churva, so you have this dilapidated house that has no roof, and there's a kaira on top. So the halacha is, if there's a kaira, you can carry in the churva. The halacha is that the kaira makes this churva into a real rishus hayochid. How does it do it? So Rashi seems to say that it works with good achas mechitzos. Taisa seems to say that it works with pitikur yair v'soysen. The point is that you have an imaginary four mechitzos. As long as the kaira is four tefachim wide, you now have these mechitzos, a very big chiddush, that kaira arba materes b'chur. Rav Nachman Amar Avua said, kaira arba materes b'mayin, that a kaira arba that's on top of water is going to work as well. What's the kasha? Haka ozel deli le'idach giso maisi. L'chaira, how's this going to work? L'chaira, you have a major problem over here. Why? How could a kaira work? In other words, Rabbi Bar Avua said that if you would have a kaira and you would put it on top of a bar, that's the sugya that we're learning, the sugya of the bar with the mayim, that in and of itself would be okay. Just put a kaira on top of the bar, and now we're ready, you're going to be able to carry. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Bishloima, according to Rav Huna, it makes sense, this halacha. Because Rav Huna held that the machlokes b'sham and b'sil was whether it has to be lamayla on the top of the bar, or it has to be towards the mat. We paskin like Beis Hillel. So obviously this halacha of Rabbi Ravu is going to be going according to Beis Hillel, which means it has to be l'mayla min apar. So the kaira is the equivalent of l'mayla min apar. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that even Beis Hillel's l'mayla means that it has to be a little bit inside the water, it has to be by the water, and even has to be inside a tefach. So the kaira, how's this going to work? Now, by the way, if you think about it, it's not so posh that this should work according to Rav Huna either. Because even according to Rav Huna, the kaira doesn't have to be inside the rim, inside the confines of the bar. The kaira in this case is not inside the confines of the bar. So I'm Rishonim. The Rishonim asked the kasha, because the Gemara's kasha is a kasha according to Rav Yehuda. The Gemara is not asking a kasha according to Rav Huna. So it seemed the kasha was only according to Rav Huna. But either way, so what is the kasha? L'chura, how are you allowed to take it? So the Gemara says, Kimbul the Rabbanon, the Ein Dali Mahalach Yoisem Arbat Fachim. The Rabbanon had a Messiah, meaning they understood that when people in a chatzah would go take water from a bar, so the pail would never go more than four tefachim. So they're never taking water from beyond four tefachim. Being that they're never taking from beyond four tefachim, they're never taking from the other side anyways. And being that they're never taking from the other side, this is going to be okay. Now you're going to tell me, what do you mean? At the end of the day, the water is mixed, right? But it's clear we don't care about the fact that the water is mixed. Because if Basil cared about the fact that the water was mixed, then it wouldn't even help you that it's on top of the water. It wouldn't even help you that it's inside the tefach. You would have to come out the Beishamai Shita. And Basil doesn't hold the Beishamai. Obviously, that's why he's Basil. Beishamai is Beishamai. Doesn't hold that Shita. So the fact that it's the Mitzius mix doesn't bother me. What bothers me? The optics bother me. We don't like what's going on over here. So if it's a little bit, the hecker, right? The hecker. So if it's a little bit inside, that in and of itself would be okay. Over here, you don't have to worry about the hecker. Because the Maisa, you have a kaira, which is true, it's not inside the water, but it's not going that, it's not going more than four tefachim. So what? What does four tefachim have to do with anything? Because we just said there's a kaira in between. And how wide was the kaira? The kaira was four tefachim. So it's not going to the other side. If it's not going to cross over to the wrong side, it's like this, you don't have to worry about. But the Gemara says, Tachas kaira miyaha rivi maya. What about underneath the kaira? Shouldn't underneath the kaira be a problem? That should be a problem, right? Underneath the kaira. Why? Because who does that area belong to? It belongs to the people living in both chatzeres. So shouldn't that be a problem? The Gemara says, you're right. Ella. And it's machlokes v'shoinim whether you gerus the word Ella, Rashi's gerus the word Ella. So we're going to go with the word Ella. And Ella always suggests that we're falling off from what we said. Ella, what's Ella? Ella, checkmate. Ella, the lesser of the Rav Yehuda, zokta el gerashi. Ella, kederavuna. Must be Rav Yehuda's. Shita is upgefrekt, and the halacha must be like Rav Huna, meaning you don't need it to be touching the water. Why wouldn't you need it to be touching the water? Where do you find a mechitza that doesn't have to be touching the water? So we explained that maybe it's a hecker, but we also acknowledge that the Gemara is going to attack it from another angle. This is a special clue that you find by word. Rav Tavla asked Rav the following question. So we've seen mechitza tluya a few times. It's going to come up again later in the Masechta. So what happens if you have this floating mechitza? What's unique about a floating mechitza? It was dalit al dalit, it's 10 tefachim, but it doesn't go all the way down to the ground. So there's a concept of gurachas mechitzas. So do you say gurachas mechitzas or not? Does it work in a churva amale? So Rav famously told Rav Tavla, in mechitza tuya materis el b'mayim. It only works in water. Kalu shekil cham b'mayim. It's a special kula that you have by water. And this bar, of course, we're dealing with water. Because we're dealing with water, that's why you have the special kula. And that's why this is going to work. So at the end of the day, after this detailed analysis, machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda had to understand the shita of of Rav Shimon Gamliel, which essentially was that it's a machlokes b'shamayim Mesil. We have an Ella. Not all Rishonim agree with Rashi, but the way Rashi learns the Gemara, it's Ella less Lid Rabbi Yehuda, and we come out like Rav Huna's Shita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, loy tehei mechitza. So Rabbi Yehuda was the third opinion in the Mishnah. So again, let's revisit the Mishnah for a second. Bar shevein shtei chatzeros, ein memalo mimeda b'shabas. Why? Because there's no air between the two chatzeros. How can you take water? I take water, I'm taking from your side, you're taking from my side. What do you have to do? You have to make a mechitza. Okay, tell me a little bit about this mechitza. Tanakama says, I don't, just put the mechitza there somewhere. It's fine. As long as mechitza is somewhere inside the bar, that's going to be okay. Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's not so simple. The mechitza is so, mamata, mamaila. What does mamata mean? What does mamaila mean? One thing was clear, and that is, this has to be a real mechitza. I mean, this is not a mechitza, is in the mechitza sense. This is a kal shekilu chachamim v'mayim. Could be it's only mishum heker. There was one side, Rav Yehuda's Bishamai, that it seemed to have to be a real mechitza. But other than that, if a shul doesn't have to be a real mechitza, this mechitza is going to be a very cool digging mechitza. But something you're going to have to do. The third shita was Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, what do you need a mechitza for? The case was where there was a kaisel. There was a wall that went over the pit. So if there's a kaisel shebeneim, that's okay. So why would you need a mechitza? Zok de Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amra. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah holds like another chiddush in Hilchas Mechitza is a chiddush of Rabbi Yosi, the Amar who said mechitza tluya materes afilu bayabasha. Rabbi Yosi has a shita that a mechitza tluya works not only b'mayim, but it works b'yabasha as well. And Rabbi Yehuda must hold like Rabbi Yosi. So what's this Rabbi Yosi? It's a Mishnah Masechtes Sukkah. Mishal Shetfanes B'malo L'mato. If somebody was making walls for his sukkah, so he attached the wall to the schach, and he was Mishalshel, right? Like Derech Shulshel, Derech Zrikin, the previous sukkahs. So he's now working his way down. He's bringing the mechitza. So b'smachik v'yitzim b'naratz gimel tefachim sula. If it's more than three tefachim off the ground, it's going to be pasul. If, however, you're going from down up, meaning the old-fashioned way, you built a wall and now you're trying to work your way up to the schach, if it's 10 tefachim tall, it's going to be kosher. Meaning, does the wall have to extend all the way down to the ground? Or what about in the reverse? Does it have to extend all the way up to the schach? So the Chachamim in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah say that it doesn't have to go all the way to the schach, but it does have to go all the way down to the ground. It doesn't have to go all the way to the schach, because even if it doesn't touch the schach, as long as it's 10 tefachim, good achas mechitzas. In an imaginary way, we can have it touch the schach. However, if it doesn't go all the way to the bottom, it's not going to go. Because even though there is an idea called gudachas mechitzos, but you can't say gudachas mechitzos on dry land. And the reason is because at the end of the day, if something can get underneath it, the infamous goats, so as long as something can get in, that's not a mechitza, it's a partition. If it doesn't separate, then it's not a partition. That's why it's not going to be okay. So good asik mechitza is yeah, meaning we can extend upwards. Good achas mechitza is not. Why? Again, very simple, because if it's on the bottom, the hole, so the goat's not flying, it's not going derech aver. So the only way it would get in is through the bottom. So if it doesn't go to the bottom, it's going to be a problem. If it doesn't go to the top, it's not going to be a just like from down up. You don't need it to go all the way to the schach. But as long as the wall is 10 tefachim, we would say good asik mechitza is kach m'mal l'mat asara. So too, in the reverse, going down is going to be the same. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah must hold like Rabbi Yosi. That what? That we say good achis mechitza is, and we say that mechitza tluy is materes, afilu bayabasha. Again, just to be clear, this is the topic from here until the end of the yom. So we're equating two shitas hatanoim and shas. One is a mishnah masechtas erev and daf peivav amin aleph, and the other is a mishnah masechtas sukkah daf tezayin amin aleph. They're both discussing taking a wall and extending it downwards. The halach in our mishnah is a wall that goes on top of a pit. You want to extend it all the way to the bottom of the pit. It's like this. Like this is a mechitza in the pit. So if you want to take from one side of water to the other side of water, you'd be able to take it. The other was halach in el chasukah, where you want to take a wall and you want to extend it all the way to the ground. Both of these are chiddushim, and the Gemara is saying that the chiddush is one and the same. Now, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yosi? Let's work backwards in Masechta Sukkah. Rabbi Yosi holds mechitza tluyas materes afilu bayabasha. I mean, there is a concept of taking a mechitza and extending it down, but we usually find that by water. Kal hushe kilu chachamim b'mayim. Rabbi Yosi holds even bayabasha. Right? That's Rabbi Yosi's shita. That's his oiftu in that Mishnah Masechta Sukkah. That you take the wall, you extend it all the way down. Goats? I don't care about goats. It goes all the way. Good ass achis mechitzas, just like good assik mechitzas. That's going to be okay. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah held the same thing. He must have held the same thing. Now, at first glance, just pashim shan on the Gemara. Where'd Rabbi Yehuda hold that? What's Rabbi Yehuda talking about? A wall on top of a pit. What's inside the pit? water. It's not yabasha. So what does the Gemara mean? Amar Rabbi Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda Beshitas Rabbi Yosi Amra the Amar Mechitzat Tliy Materes Afilu Bayabasha. Where's the Bayabasha over here? There's no Bayabasha. So if there's no Bayabasha, then Luchayra, what's the Tushdel? What's the connection to these two halachas? So it's from Rashi, it's Mashma that the Teretz of the Gemara is that being that at the end of the day, this Mechitza was not built specifically for the purpose of acting as a mechitza between the water. So therefore, it's a little bit of a mechudishtig example of a good achas mechitzos, and it shouldn't fall into the category of kalu shekil chachamim v'mayim. Kalu shekil chachamim v'mayim should only be if it was made specifically for this purpose. But if it wasn't made specifically for this purpose, then it would seem you shouldn't have the kalu shekil chachamim v'mayim. So the Gemara is just saying that even though it's not mamash the same case, because here we're using it for water. It's over there that you're not using it for water. But at the end of the day, it's not your classic kalu shekil chachamim v'mayim. So the Gemara is assuming that the reason Rabbi Yehuda held it works is probably because he also has nothing to do with water. Has nothing to do with water. Oh, that must be. That's Rabbi Yosi Shita. So even though it's not mamash the same Shita, Rabbi Yosi is talking about really only a sukkah on top of a pit. Your sukkah is literally beyabasha. This is not so literally beyabasha, but afal pikin, that's the tushos. Again, the Gemara says at first glance, Amar Rabba Bar Bachan and Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shitas, Rabbi Yosi, but the Gemara says, V'loi, it's not true. Loi Rabbi Yehuda, Savalik Rabbi Yosi, Loi Rabbi Savalik Rabbi Yehuda. It could be the two are mutually exclusive. Rabbi Yehuda, Savalik Rabbi Yosi. I can tell you, he doesn't know like Rabbi Yosi. Because I'd come like Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda says, Allah, Rabbi Chatzeris Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda's talking about Rabbi Chatzeris Rabbanan. At the end of the day, you can't forget. This is all a dinder rabbanon. Carrying from one chatzah to another chatzah without a ruv chatzer is not an issa deiraisa. A sukkah deiraisa lie. But you want to make a mechitza for a sukkah, it's a deiraisa. So it's not muchach, Rabbi Yehuda would hold this kula in sukkah. For the Rabbi Yehuda, love Rabbi Yehuda, and I can argue the reverse as well. I'd come to Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Allah, look at this asehu. That's only sukkah where we're dealing with an isser aseh. At the end of the day, if somebody doesn't sit in a sukkah, he violates an aseh. But it's not more than that. Aval Shabbos is a skilu, but Shabbos, which is an issa skilu, loy. You would think that maybe it's more chamor, because even though this is an issa de rabbanon, but it's an issa de rabbanon that's related to Shabbos, which is in it of itself an issa skilu, so it's not muchach. So, digimara. V'im toimar. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yosi only said his kula by sukkah, not by Shabbos, sukkah, which is an issa rase, not by Shabbos, which is an issa skilu, so v'im toimar, right, it sounds like a toisvus. V'im toimar, you'll ask me a kasha, oisa maisa shenase b'tzipoiri al minase. There was a maisa shoyakachoy that happened in Tzipoiri. And that maisa seemed to have happened based on the ruling that you can use a mechitza tluya, even be a basha, even on Shabbos. So Mar says, didn't that probably happen with Rabbi Yosi? Now, why would you think it happened by Rabbi Yosi? Because a little history, Rabbi Yosi was the Mar Da'asra in Tzipoiri. So being he was the Mar Da'asra in Tzipoiri, so it's fair to assume that it happened to Rabbi Yosi. So says the Gemara, we know there was a story where there was a mechitza tluya that the Chachamim were matter in Tzipoiri. That happens to be Rabbi Yosi's city. It makes sense. Oh, Rabbi Yosi l'shitasai. Rabbi Yosi is the one in Masechta Sukkah that holds you can use a mechitza tluya. But now that you're telling me that you can't use a mechitza tluya, why can't you use a mechitza tluya? Because only by Sukkah, which is in the Sarsay Napa Shabbos, was in the so in Taimar, what was Pshat in that Maisa? So what's that story didn't happen up here, Rabbi Yosi. El up here, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi. Nas. It wasn't Rabbi Yosi. It was Rabbi Yosi's son. It was Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi. Rashi says Shekfar Nifter, Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi wasn't alive anymore. So at that point, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi had taken over, and maybe he holds not like his father. But as far as Rabbi Yosi himself goes, it's not mucha. Right? What's the difference if it's Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi? Of course, it matters. Rabbi Yosi is nemuka imoy. If this is Rabbi Yosi, this is the halacha. So any time, that's what the Gemara will discuss. What Rabbi Yosi hold? So let's say it's Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi. Right? If the Tanoim's names are just names, then it's hard to appreciate this Gemara. But when you understand who Rabbi Yosi is, did Rabbi Yosi say it? Oh, if Rabbi Yosi stayed, then everything stops. That's a very, very big difference. Either what was this story? The Chiyas Rav Dimi Yomer. This story, again, like so much that we know in Shas, it came from Rav Dimi. He said, Pam Achas, once upon a time, there was a keel, they didn't have a Sefer Torah on Shabbos. So the next day, they took Amudim, they spread out a curtain, they made this little mechitza, and they brought a sefer Torah. The karu by the Gemara says once a parcel the katchila mishari. You can't make an oil on Shabbos. The ha'hakol moedim she nois an oil aroy b'Shabbos. Everyone holds you're not allowed to make an oil aroy, even a temporary oil. This was a temporary oil. You're not allowed to just go erect an oil on Shabbos. Elo matzistin a prusim al amudim. They found mechitzas. They were sardinim, sheets that were spread on top of beams, vehiviu sefer Torah, and they used that to create a mechitza, and they brought a sefer Torah for carbon, whatever exactly the mitzvah was, but they used this mechitza. Now, apparently, these sheets didn't go all the way to the bottom. So being that they didn't go all the way to the bottom, they were relying on the leniency of a mechitza tluya. And still you see that it worked, even though it was biyabasha, and even though it was Shabbos. So you see, L'chayr was in Tzipayri, the Gemara assumed for sure this was Rabbi Yossi. So you see that Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a mechitza tluya is mutter, not only by water, but in Sukkah, it was true even by Shabbos, which would seem to knock out one of the svaras the Gemara said, but the Gemara says, not muchach, because no one said that this happened while Rabbi Yossi was still alive. Could be happened after the p'tira of Rabbi Yossi, and if that's the case, it's not based on Shittas Rabbi Yossi, but rather it was Shittas Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. You see Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi held that way? Okay, that's true. But at the same time, there's a difference between Rabbi Yossi holding that way and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi holding that way because of the principle chayra of Rabbi Yossi nemukai imai excess. Just to go back to the beginning of the daf, hashtag light raid. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Mechaber Ashirim, for Rabbi Akiva Mechaber Ashirim. The Gemara brought a story with Bunyas ben Bunyas. He came to visit Rebbe, and Rebbe said, Tanu Makam. He said, he looks like he's worth Mea Mana. So give him a seat that's befitting to someone that has the personal net worth of 100 mana. And then afterwards, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi told him, Rebbe, he says, you know who his father is? Right, whispered into his ear. He said, his father owns 1,000 ships, 1,000 cities. He said, he's not a Revi, he's a Shishi, he's a Shlishi. You have to give him better, we have to give him better cover. Shmuel says, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't know. He says, do me a favor, the next time you see his father, tell him to make sure he dresses his son the right way. It's like this, I'll know, to give him the proper cover. But this was Rebbe's minhag. Rebbe Mechaber Ashirim, and Rabbi Akiva was also Mechaber Ashirim. If you take a look in the Chidah, in the Sefer Pesach Einayim, see, it brings two reasons, perhaps, why Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva were Mechaber Ashirim. He says that Ve'ef Shalosei's Tam, Lo Moshehoyu Mechaber Ashirim, Al Pi Mashakosei Rabbeinu Arizal. That Arizal said is, we know that Yaakov Avinu went back for the Pachim Tanim. He said, why did he go back for the Pachim Tanim? So he said that Rizal, because Yaakov Avinu understood that Ashirus is a shefa of Kedusha that Shemayim was Mashpia on him. And because Ashirus is a shefa of Kedusha, ain't ro'i lezalzel b'shefa kodesh. It can't be mezalzel. Said the Arizal, v'm lo'i hoyo choyzer, had Yaakov Avinu not gone back b'shvul b'achim t'anim, hoyo ke mezalzel b'shefa ha-kodesh, she'ene machshiva. It would have been mezalzel in it. And since he would have been mezalzel in it, so like this, it would have shown that it's not chashiv. And that's why Yaakov Avinu went back for the pachim tanis. It said the chidah that I was thinking, that maybe based on this Arizal, if Ashirus is a shefa of Kedusha, so I understand why Rebbe was mechaber Ashirim. Because if someone's an Oysher, that means that he merited a shefa of Kedusha. If someone is an Oysher, it means he was roicha to hashpois of Kedusha. These hashpois that Yaakov Avinu held was so halig that he didn't want to be mezalzel in. So he said, if that's the case, it's move on. It's perfectly understandable. He said, why Rebbe was mechaber? Because it means this person is a keli. This is a person that is someone that's a klei kibul for such hashpois. Says the chidah, v'achaz man matzasi Mishema Arizal Tzalsha, who's al atzmai nasas tamzer? He says, later, after he had this ha'ara, he found that Arizal himself said it, and al atzlibi. He said, I was besimcha. He said, baruch shekivanti, that I was mechavin to the Arizal. He stole to the Arizal to say pshan and Rebbe mechaber Ashir. And the truth is that in the Geras HaRamban, the Ramban says that a person should always conduct himself with kavod, no matter who he's talking to. Right? Al kein afarish lecha eich tisnai b'midos ha'anova v'leches ba'tovin. Kol dvarecha yiyu b'nachas. Everything you say should be b'nachas. V'roishcha kofuf v'einecha yabitu l'mato l'oretz v'lipcha l'maylo v'al tabet b'fnei adam b'dabercha imay v'chol adam yiyu gadol b'mcha b'einecha. Anyone you interact with should be greater than you. Im chacham oy asher hu. If he's a chacham or if he's an asher, olecha l'chabdoi. You have an obligation to be mechabed him. V'im roshu v'ata asher oichachem chashoy b'lipcha ki ato chayim imenu v'huzakei memcha shem huchoyte hushoygig v'ato mezit v'hadvarim yuduim. But said that Ramban, in his famous Igeres Ramban, he says, v'chol adam yiyu gadol mimcha b'einecha imchachem oy asher hu alecha l'chabdo. Where did he find this idea? You have a chiv to mechabed an asher? Who said you have to mechabed an asher? A chacham, a talmud chacham, you have to mechabed. Even a regular chacham, There's a bracha that the Mishnah says on Perek Haraya, Shechalach, right? There's different brachas that people make when you see a chacham. But where do you find this idea that in Asher you have an obligation to be mechabed? It's this Gemara. Rabbi mechabed Ashirim, Rabbi Akiva mechabed Ashirim, and the hezber of the chidah that he says he found later in the Arizal is because Ashirus is a shef of Kedusha. And he goes on afterwards, he talks about this a little bit, and he says that you see from here that an usher himself can't be mezalzel in his Ashirus because he's a hashpoyis kodesh. He literally equates it to dvarim shal hektesh. It's fascinating l'shoinus in the Pesach Inayim right here on this Gemara Masech Tzair. But then he brings another pshat. And this other pshat, Rav Kiveger brings as well on the side of the Gilyon Ashas. And this comes from the Likutei Maharil. So I'll read it from the Gilyon Ashas on the side of the Gemara. But Likutei Maharil, Shama Me'amaram Segal, the Yesh Loimar. Why is it that Rebbe was Mechabed Ashirim? Mitoich, she Rebbe Atzmi Hoya Asher Mufli. Because Rebbe himself was very wealthy. Lokach, Hirgal Atzmi Lechabed Ashirim. So it's for that reason he took upon himself the minik to be Mechabed Ashirim. Kidei Lehislamid Lo Am She Yechabed. Because he wanted to teach people that they should be Mechabed him. Gam came b'shvil ashroi because of his wealth, v'loy b'shvil teirasoi, not because of his Torah. Sheloi ratzel lehishtamish b'kisra shol Torah, lita la Torah lehisgadol ba. The Maril brings from the Maram Segel a Dover Nifla. He says, you know why Rebbe was Mechabed Ashirim? You know Rabbi Kiva was Mechabed Ashirim? Because Rebbe and Rabbi Kiva themselves were very, very wealthy. Rebbe was an Asher Muflik. And he knew that people were giving him kavod. Why were they giving him kavod? Because of he was Rabbi Danasi. Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Akiva. But they didn't want that people should give them kavod for their Torah. Because they didn't want to take any kavod from Torah. Udeshtamish betoga chalaf. So you know what Rabbi did? He had an Eitzah. His Eitzah was, let me be Mechabed Ashirim. He said, if I'm going to be Mechabed Ashirim, everyone else can be Mechabed Ashirim. And then maybe people will give me kavod, said Rabbi, not because of my Torah, but because of my Ashiras. And like this, he won't come to be Nene from his Torah. Fascinating. So the reason Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva were Mechabed Ashirim is because they themselves were Ashirim. And they wanted people to be Mechabed then. Why? Well, they wanted covet? No, they were getting covet anyways. They just didn't want the covet for their Torah. They wanted the covet for their Ashirus. So like this, it won't be with the Shtamish Petoga Chalaf. And it's for that reason Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva were Mechabed Ashirim. So it was all like this, people would come and be Mechabed them. I was thinking, it's a fascinating thing. Because everyone knows that Rebbe on his deathbed lifted his 10 fingers and he said that he wasn't Nene from all his Ashirus. So Rebbe had a sensitivity, didn't want to be Nene from his Ashirus. Rebbe was an Asher Muflik, Kiyodua. But he didn't want to benefit at all from his Ashirus. That's why he lifted his 10 fingers. He wasn't Nene from his Ashirus. But at the same time, when it came to being Nene from his Ashirus, that's why people will give him kavod. Versus being Nene from his Torah, he wanted to be Nene from his Ashirus. He zicha didn't want to have anaf from his Torah. Right? Everyone knows the Gemara Ksubas, but there's another Gemara. He didn't want to be Nene from his Torah. So much so, he said, give me kavod better for my Ashirus. So Rebbe was Mechabed Ashirim, like this, other people would give him kavod, but Abi, what he didn't want was, he just wanted to make sure he didn't want anyone to be Mechabed for his Torah. So we have two reasons in the Svarim Akdoshim. Both brought down in the Chidah and Pesach Einayim as to why it was that Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva were Mechabed Ashirim. Either it was based on the Arizal that Ashirus is a Hashpah of Kedusha, and as a result they felt that someone that merited such Hashpah, he's someone that deserves Kavod, or it's because they themselves were Ashirim and they didn't want people to Mechabed them for that Torah. So, you know, give me Kavod for my Ashirus, that's something that I'm willing to do, but at the same time, don't give me Kavod for my Torah. But the truth is, Emekri Yoitzim Edei Pshutai. The Gemara gave a reason, right? The Gemara itself gave a reason. The Gemara said that Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, Rebbe Akiva Mechabed Ashirim. Why? It's a Gemara. Kedidarash Rabbe Bar Mari. Rabbe Bar Mari Darshan. The pasuk says, Yeshev Oilam Lefnei Elokim, Chesed Ve'emes Man Yintziruhu. Yeshev Oilam Lefnei Elokim. What causes the world to have a kiyum? It's Chesed Ve'emes Man Yintziruhu. When Yidden do Chesed, that's when there's an Oilam. So the point is, says Rashi, is Bizman Sheyesh Bayashirim Shegoimlim Chesed Umizamne Mizoynes Lanim. That's what causes the world to have a kiyum. So Rebbe was being Mechabed Ashirim. Yeah, that's true. But the reason he was Mechabed Ashirim was not necessarily because of their Ashirus. It's because of the fact that they were going like Chesed. It's because of the fact that they were going like Chesed. The truth is, if you take a look in the Ein Yaakov, right here on this Gemara, so the Ein Yaakov, right, brings all that gather to Gemaras, but sometimes it's Moisef and Megareya a little bit. So on this Gemara, the Ein Yaakov is Moisef. So if we would have the Ein Yaakov in our Gemara, we would have had a whole daf of a gather to Gemara today. Chaval al da'avdin. But this is what we would have had. But if you look in the Ein Yaakov, so the Ein Yaakov brings this whole Gemara, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, Rebbe Akiva Mechabed Ashirim, and then there's a whole part two. Amar Rav Nosan Bar Rabba Amar Rav. Atirei Bavel, the Ashirim and Bavel Yordim Gehenim Him. They're all going to go to Gehenim. And then the Gemara says, Gehod the Shapsi Bered Ramarinos Ikla LeBavel. The Gemara tells a story that there was a Psayid, Shapsi Bered Ramarinos, not to be confused with Bunyas Ben Bunyas. So he arrives in Bavel and he was struggling financially. So he went over to the Oilam and he said he has a business idea. He was looking for someone to back him. He was looking for an investor. And nobody wanted to touch him. They said, we'll do an iska. Nobody. He says, you know what? Okay, you don't want to help me, you know, in a bakovet to go away. He says, can you at least give me something? I need food for Shabbos. They didn't want to give him food for Shabbos either. So the Gemara says, Omar, he said, Hani me Erev Rav Kasi. They must be from the Erev Rav. Because the Pasuk says, V'nosan lecha racham en v'richamcha, v'hirbecha kashen nishval avisecha, kol meracham ala briyos, meracham en olam en ha-shamayim. V'chol she'en meracham ala briyos, en meracham en olam en ha-shamayim. Kol meracham ala briyos, b'yadu shu mizari shal Avram Avinu. V'chol she'en meracham ala briyos, b'yadu she'en mizari shal Avram Avinu. And the Gemara, it goes on and on and on. But the point is that he realized from the fact that they didn't want to give tzedakah, so it must be that mamish from the Erev. So these were gvirim at Tirei Bavel. But you are the Gehenimim. So you have the Gvirim of our Sugir, Rebbe Mechabed Hashirim, Rebbe Kiva Mechabed Hashirim. And then you have the Atirei Bavel that are Yard the Gehenimim. What's the point? The point is because the Ashiris itself is not the metric. It's what the Ashirim did with their Ashiris. Rebbe was Mechabed Ashirim because of the Pasuk, Yeshev Oilam Lefnei Elikim Chesed Emes Man Yitzru. When they do Chesed, that Machnes Oirech, they do Mitzvah, so that's when Rebbe's Mechabed Ashirim. But if they're not doing Chesed, like the second half of the Ein Yaakov, then to the contrary, then you have that Tirei Bavel that are Yard Gehenim, where Rav Nachman Bar Abba said that as far as them, they were from the era Rav Kasi. They were from this. So how do you reconcile? Meaning, you have a chida that says a pshat based on Arizal. We have a lakutim Arizal. Isn't it a mafurish gemara? So the Teretz says pasha. The Teretz says we always speak out from the Vilna Gaon. That Chazal will always megalotas one time. At the time the Chazal are megalotas is always the time niglo. But there's always the time nistar. So obviously these are timeim nistar, right? Just al derech hapshat. These are timeim nistar. Different reasons why Rebbe mechaber Rashi. But I'll tell you something very, very interesting. This is a little bit of pnimius atayra, above my pay grade, but just a little glimpse into Pnimiyus HaTorah, which we sometimes like to do. And this is from the Hafla, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, in his Pirush al HaTorah, in the Sefer Panim Yofei. So the Pasuk says, in Parshas Bahar, V'chiyomuch ochicha imach, if there is going to be an Araman, umate yodoy imach, says the Pasuk, you should help this person, v'hechazakta boy. V'chiyomuch ochicha umata yodoy imach, v'hechazakta boy, ger v'toyshav, V'chai imach. So the Hafla in his Panim Yafleis makes two diyukim. Right? The pasuk, what does it mean? High level. V'chiyamach achicha imach. Umati is going to be an araman. V'chzak the boy. Give him chizik. Take care of him. Yeah, he's an araman. Give him stuff. But he had two diyukim. Number one, what's v'chiyamach achicha umata yade imach? It's imach. With you? What does with you mean? V'chzak the boy. The Hafla said really what it should have said was v'chzak the oisai. What's this lashon of the chzak the boy? So said that flawed upon him yofos al derech pnimiyus ha-toira. He says we know kol yisrael are raven zebeze, meaning if one yid does an avera, obviously he's guilty, he's responsible for what he did. But the truth is that really all the yidden are responsible for what this one yid did, because kol yisrael are raven zebeze. Now what's pashup shat kol yisrael are raven zebeze? The simple understanding is because we don't live in a vacuum. Every single yid is part of a family, part of an extended family. He's part of a community. He learned in a certain yeshiva. He davens in a certain shul. He has friends. He's part, on a more global level, he's part of Klal Yisrael. Nothing happens in a vacuum. And as a result, anytime a yid does an avera, the truth is that every single yid on some level contributed to that avera that you did. Because on some level, we're all responsible. Because we played episode role. It could be that had one member of the mishpacha or of the yeshiva or one chavrusa or one person in the city or even a person that lives in another shtar. But on some level, being that every act that happens doesn't happen in a vacuum, it's part of a bigger picture. So anyone that's part of the picture, every single yid is part of that picture. So that's the idea of kol yisrael ha-raven zebeze. That's why after Achan did the avera, he benefited from the spoils of Yericho. So what did the pasuk say? Chata yisrael. And a few weeks ago, we spoke about all the gemaras. Afal pi shechata yisrael. Right, that's the makar, that a mummer, it doesn't matter how low he falls, he's always yisrael. Achan was called the yisrael literally as he was being executed. But at the same time, what's the pasuk shat? Chata yisrael. It's because all the Yidden beard some level of responsibility for Achan. Because if every Yid was perfect, it couldn't have been an Achan. That's Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh. The Ramah Mipano, in his Asara Mimorus, says that that's Pshan in the Gemara. Chazal say that if a person does an Avera, and then he does Tshuva, Moichlin Loi, the Kola Oilam Kuloi. Right, it's a chazal. That if a person does an Aveira, that he does Tshuva, not only does he get Mechilas Avoinis, but Kol Oilam Kulo gets, because what does that mean? So if a person ate Nevela, and then he did Tshuva, so now he gets Kapara, because he just did Tshuva. But some Yid somewhere else, that was Mechal Shabbos, is also going to get Kapara. What's Pasha Pshat? So said the Ramami Pano, you know what the Pshat is? Because when a person does an Aveira, Kol Yisrael Narevim Zebezeh, every single Yid is Achroi, every single Yid is responsible for this Aveira that this person did. So being that Kol Yisrael Narevim Zebezeh, so it comes that every single Yid bears some level of responsibility for the Aveira. So if every Yid bears some responsibility for the Aveira, they're all complicit. They all need Kapara. When this Bal Aveira does Tshuva, not only does he get Kapara for the Aveira that he did, but every person's role that he played in that Aveira also goes away. That's what it means, Meichlin Kol Olam Kulo, because the whole world needs Mechila for this person's Aveira. Because when Achan did an Aveira, it was Chata Yisra. Because that's the Tifkai of Kol Yisrael La Raven Zebezeh. But the truth is, that was a digression, Kol Yisrael La Raven Zebezeh is really even deeper than that. And it really, it's on a Neshama level. So it says the Chidah, the side of Kol Yisrael La Raven Zebezeh is, because kol nefesh mi Yisrael meurav mikol nafshos Yisrael, every single neshama that any Yid has in it a nitzot, it has in it a little bit of the neshama of every single Yid. When we talk about we're am echad, when we talk about we're one nation, you know what that means? That means your neshama, which is really what you are. The guf is something that, you know, that escorts us through this transient existence that we have, but our essence is not our guf. Our essence is our neshama, our chelak galaka. Our neshama, every single Yid's neshama is really made up. He has his unique neshama, of course. But at the same time, there's a little bit, a little pintle Yid of every single Yid in Klal Yisrael inside his neshama. V'chol nefesh mi Yisrael, I'm quoting from the Hafla, me'ura mikol nafshos Yisrael. He said, that's pshat, where Rashi says in Parshas Vayigas, kol ha-nefesh ha-bala beis Yaakov, right, 70 nefashos came down, but the Pasuk says kol ha-nefesh. What do you mean kol ha-nefesh? It was nafshos. So Rashi says, oh, because there was achdos. What does it mean there was achdos? Because Klal Yisrael has achdos. We're nefesh echad. Yeah, we are nefesh echad. Because really, we're all one neshama. Every single Yid has everybody else's neshama. So we're not independent neshamas. Yeah, on some level, obviously, there's individuality. But at the same time, every single neshama is made up of other people's neshamas. And says the hafla, again, above my pay grade, but this is really the tifkai of Kol Yisron Arevim Zebezeh, says the Chidav. That's the case. He says, if every single Yid doesn't just have his neshama, but he has everybody else's neshama as well. So it comes out, if you have an Araman, you have an Araman. This Araman has the nefesh of an Ani. He's an Araman. But at the same time, he has the nefesh of every single Yid, which includes in that the Ashirim. It includes in that in the Gvir. So it comes out, this Ani really has himself in the nefesh of an Oishan. And he says, all the Ashirim, they be'etzim have in their neshama the nefesh of Daniyim as well. Because every person has everybody else's nefesh. So it means the Ani has in himself a nitzot of the nefesh of an Asher. And the Asher has in himself a nitzot of the nefesh of an Ani. That's the achdos of Klai, so we're all one. So that means the Gvir is an Araman, the Araman's a Gvir, right? That's what it means. So the Ani has in himself the nefesh of the Asher, and the Asher has himself the nefesh of an Ani. So what does that mean? Says that flow, what does it mean? He says, I'm going to tell you what it means. He says, because we know that a person could be an Ani ve'evyoin, but it could be an Asher. Like the Mishnah says, Ezeu Asher hasamech b'chalkoi. And he says, a person could be an Asher, but at the same time, he could be an Ani ve'evyoin, because Eino demeis v'chatzi tavasi bi'odoi. And we know, yesh lo'im mona reitze messiah. So he said, the truth is that every single person, you could be an Ani, but you can have the nefesh of an Asher. There's a tzad Asher. Where does it come from, the tzad Asher? How did we create this mitzius and pnimius atoira that you're an Araman, but somehow you became a Gvir? It's because you have the nefesh of an Asher inside of you. Because Kol Yisrael La'Revim Zebezeh. So the nefesh of the Asher is included in every single year. How is there such a mitzius that you can have an Asher and the guy's walking around subrochen like he's an Araman? He's a Gvir Adah, but he feels like an Asher. He feels like Ein Chatzi Tavasei Biyadei. How is it gemolt such a mitzius? Of course, in the world of Midas and Musa, we understand it. But in Pnimiyas HaTorah, says the Afla, it's because the Asher has in himself the Nefesh of the Ani. And because he has the Nefesh of the Ani, that's how it's possible. So said the Chidah, let's say you have an Asher that wants to be an Asher. So what should he do? He has himself the Nefesh of the Ani. This is a real problem. This is on the neshama level. He has something tugging at him. So what's he supposed to do? He says, you know what he could do? He says, if he goes and he's mechazik aniyim, he gives money to aniyim, le'umazeh, his chilek that he has inside of him, his own nefesh ha'ani is going to become wealthy and he's going to become an usher hasameach b'chelka. That's what the Afla says. So if a person goes and he's mechazek the ani, his own anius is suddenly going to get a chizuk. Said the Afla, here's the punchline. He said, that's Pshat and Rebbe. Rebbe was mechaber Ashirim. And it's revealed in the Sfarim that Rebbe gave kavod to Ashirim. Why did he give kavod to Ashirim? Maybe based on that Rizal. Maybe it was based on the Likutei Maril. He gave kavod to Ashirim. But which Ashirim did Rebbe give kavod to? He only gave kavod to Ashirim that gave stock. He said, why do you only give to Ashir, Manavshach. If you're being Mechabed Ashir, what's have to do with Tzedakah? The fact that the person doesn't give Tzedakah, he's a Baal Bechira. At the end of the day, Hashem gave him Ashpois. At the end of the day, if he didn't want people to be Mechabed, so good, so you're accomplishing it by giving it to any Ashir. What did it have to do with giving Tzedakah? He says, you know why? Because if you have a Gvir and he doesn't give Tzedakah, so yeah, physically, monetarily, based on his net worth, maybe he's an Ashir, but he's an Oni Bedaitoi. He's an Ani Bedaita because he has a Nefesh Ani. Everyone has a Nefesh Ani. And he has a Nefesh Asher. Everyone has a Nefesh Asher. But unless he goes and he gives Tzedakah, unless he's Mechazik Aniyim, he has no way of kriching out of his Ani Bedas. The only way Rebbe knew someone was a real Asher is if he gave Chesed. If he did chesed, he gave tzedakah, that means he wasn't just an usher, but he was an usher bedaita. He said, if he was an usher bedaita, an usher bedaita, he says daflo, that's who Rebbe wanted to be mechazek. He said, that's pshat in the pasuk. He says, the ani that's inside of the gvir, this person he has, but at the same time, he's not an orah man. But lemaisa ain't on the meis v'chatzit tavasa b'yadai. And he's a yesh loy mana roitzim masayim. So you want to be mechazik yourself, your own tzad ani. It's like this, you'll be an asher asamech bechelkoi. That's the way you do that. That's how you're going to end up getting your own chizik. But either way, he says, Avada Rebbe was mechabed ashira. But Rebbe was only going to be mechabed a real asher. And a real asher meant someone that was also an asher bedaita. And how did he know if somebody was an asher bedaita? The way he knew somebody was an Asher B'daitoi was by virtue of the fact that he did chesed. He said, if he did chesed, that means that not only is an Asher B'mamoinoi, but Misrachiv Daitoi, Valashirus Kazer. Amru Chazal Sheroi Lechabdoi, Kivan Shu Asher B'das. And that's why Rebbe was Mechabed Ashirim for their Ashiris, but he wanted to just make sure that it was a true Ashiris, and that's why he was only Mechabed Ashirim that also gave Tzedakah.